محمد
وعليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا. أحيي الإخوة في سنغافورة بتحية الإسلام، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته.
أسأل الله العلي القدير أن يجعل هذا اللقاء خالص لوجهه الكريم، وأسأل الله عز وجل لكم التوفيق والسداد. بادئ بدء أقول إن دعوة الأنبياء والرسل كانت لتوحيد الله تعالى، فالرب سبحانه وتعالى أرسل الأنبياء والرسل بدعوة الإسلام، بدعوة التوحيد الخالص لله تعالى. قال تعالى: وما أرسلنا من قبلك من رسول إلا نوحي إليه أنه لا إله إلا أنا فاعبدون. وقال تعالى: واعبدوا الله ولا تشركوا به شيئا. التوحيد الخالص لله، والممتثل بقول العبد لا إله إلا الله. لا إله معبود بحق إلا الله سبحانه وتعالى. لذلك قال تعالى: وقضى ربك ألا تعبدوا إلا إياه. وكان ذلك ظاهرا في بيان الأنبياء والرسل. النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم يقول: خير الدعاء دعاء يوم عرفة، وخير ما قلت أنا والنبيون من قبلي لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. فإن أثقل شيء وأعظم شيء عند الله تعالى هو التوحيد لله تعالى، وهو سبب محو كل الذنوب. وهذا ما بينه النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم في محو الذنوب، حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم من حديث ابن عمرو ابن العاص وهو من العبادلة، حيث قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: إن الله سيخلص رجالا من أمتي على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة. إن الله سيخلص رجلا من أمتي على رؤوس الخلائق يوم القيامة، فينشر لهذا المخلوق، لهذا الإنسان 99 سجلا، كل سجل مد البصر، يعني ذنوبه مد البصر بالسجلات. ثم يقول له الرب سبحانه وتعالى: أتنكر شيئا من هذا، من كل هذه المعاصي التي دونت في السجلات؟ أظلمك كتبت الحافظون؟ هل هناك شيء كتب في هذه السجلات كذبا وزورا وتعديا؟ فقال بمعنى لا، أي كل ما كتب يا ربي حدث مني وكان مني. وهنا الرب سبحانه وتعالى يقول لهذا العبد صاحب السجلات، صاحب المعاصي، صاحب السجلات، مد البصر 99 سجلا من الذنوب والمعاصي. فيقول: أفلك عذر أو حسنة؟ هنا بهت الرجل، ماذا يقول مع كل هذه الذنوب والمعاصي؟ بهت الرجل، يقول النبي: فيبهت الرجل. فيقول معترفا: لا يا ربي، لا يا ربي. فيقول الرب جل وعلا وهو اللطيف بعباده أرحم الراحمين: بلى، إن لك عندنا حسنة وإنه لا ظلم عليك اليوم. في أرض المحشر عند الله تنتهي المظالم. فيخرج تعالى له بطاقة فيها: أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا عبده ورسوله. فيقول: احضر وزنك. فيقول: يا ربي، ما هذه البطاقة مع هذه السجلات؟ يعني أين هذه السجلات مد البصر من هذه البطاقة؟ بطاقة في مقابل 99 سجلا من المعاصي والذنوب. فيقول الرب سبحانه وتعالى: إنك لا تظلم فتوضع السجلات في كفة والبطاقة في كفة فطاشت السجلات وثقلت البطاقة فلا يثقل اسم الله شيء فلا يثقل اسم الله شيء أبدا. هنا التوحيد، هنا التوحيد الخالص لله تعالى. لذلك الإيمان 70 شعبة، أفضلها قول لا إله إلا الله، أفضلها التوحيد الخالص، أفضلها صرف العبادة لله وحده. هكذا اعتقاد السني، فهو في هذه الحياة قائم على التوحيد، قائم على إفراد العبادة لله وحده، وهو بهذا الطريق لا يكل ولا يمل، فهو متأصل بمعنى لا إله إلا الله وأن محمدا رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم. هو مقتدي بفهمه واعتقاده ما كان عليه النبي وصحبه، فهو قائم بتوحيد الله الخالص، وهو خاضع لعبودية الله تعالى، خاضع لتحقيق أوامر الله تعالى، ولكن بما ثبت في الكتاب والسنة على فهم أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. فهو قوي وهو ثابت، صاحب يقين لا يتزعزع، صاحب ثبات لا ينكسر، فهو على هذا الطريق متمثل هدي الصديق وعمر إلى أن يلقى الله عز وجل، لا يتكسب، أقول لا يتكسب ولا يغتاث ولا يأكل باعتقاده ودينه، فهو قوي أمين، فهو قوي أمين، لأنه يريد ما عند الله جل وعلا، يريد أن يكون المؤمن القوي الذي هو أحب إلى الله تعالى، يريد أن يكون ماذا؟ المؤمن السلفي السني القوي لا الضعيف، يريد أن يكون على ما كان عليه أبي بكر وعمر من قوة في الاعتقاد، من قوة في الثبات، من قوة في فهم القرآن والسنة. لذلك قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم والهوى الهادي إلى الخير وهو المبين لكلام الرب جل وعلا لتبين للناس ما نزل إليهم. قال له وقال لنا اقتدوا بالذين من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر، فمن اقتدى بأبي بكر وبعمر كان من أهل الجنة. فالاقتداء باقتقاد الصديق والفاروق سبيل النجاة، والامتثال بهدي الصديق والفاروق سبيل النجاة. فلننظر كيف كان هذين الصحابيين في حياتهما، فقد كان الصديق وعمر أصحاب اعتقاد ثابت في دين الله تعالى، وكانوا أقوياء عرفوا بالقوة، لذلك في أرض المعركة في أحد ماذا قال كفار قريش؟ أفيكم محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم؟ أفيكم ابن أبي قحافة يعني الصديق؟ أفيكم عمر؟ ماذا؟ لأن هؤلاء الأبرز والأقوى والأنتم في نصرة الحق والدين. ومن خصائصهم أنهم حملوا لله التوحيد والدعوة إلى ذلك والدعوة إليه والدعوة إلى ذلك، هم أقوياء. وهم ماذا؟ وهم أقوياء أصحاب قوة عرفوا بذلك، وكانوا اليد العليا، هم أصحاب كد. لاحظ أصحاب كد أي أصحاب عمل وأصحاب إنتاج، وكذلك أصحاب علم وعلماء، فجمعوا بين العلم الشرعي وطلب العلم الشرعي والتحصيل الشرعي، ولم يفوقهم أحد من علماء الأرض من بعد الصحابة من بعدهم إلى أن تقوم الساعة، فهم المثل الأعلى في طلب العلم وكيفية طلب العلم وطريقة طلب العلم، فهم القدوة. فإذا أراد أن يقتدي العبد طالب العلم فلينظر إلى حياة الصديق وإلى حياة عمر، فهم استقوا معنى التوحيد، استقوا معنى السنة، استقوا الاعتقاد والمنهج، استقوا هديهم في الحياة من أوامر النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. فهم قد سمعوا حديث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى وابدأ بمن تعول، وخير الصدقة عن ظهر غني لا عن ظهر فقر، عن ظهر غني أو عن ظهر غنى، عن ظهر غنى. ومن يستعفف يحبه الله، ومن يستغني يغنيه الله تعالى. ومن يستعفف يحبه الله، ومن يستغني يغنيه الله. اليد العليا خير من اليد السفلى، واليد العليا يقول النبي المنفقة، والسفلى السائلة، والسفلى السائلة. فهل كان صديق وعمر من أصحاب اليد السفلى السائلة؟ لا. فهكذا استغنى هذين الصحابيين رضي الله عنهما وأرضاهما بما استقاه من هدي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وثبتوا على ذلك إلى أن مات النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم، وبقوا على هذا الهدي من غير تبديل ولا تحريف ولا تأويل، فهم أصحاب ثبات على هذا الطريق، لأنهم ثابتون على الطريق الذي استقوه من النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم. أمي أنصح إخواني في قراءة أو بقراءة حياة الصديق وحياة عمر رضي الله عنهما بالأسانيد الصحيحة طبعا، للوصول إلى هدي هذين الصحابيين في توحيد الله، في الاتباع، في طلب العلم، في طلب الرزق، في القوة والشجاعة، في الاعتصام بهذا الطريق إلى الممات. وأسأل الله لي ولكم الامتثال بما كان عليه أبي بكر وعمر، وأن يكون هذا الامتثال خالص لوجه الكريم، أي مع الإخلاص لله تعالى. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين، والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته، جزاكم الله خيرا شيخنا.
حياكم الله، السلام عليكم.
السلام.
I have not sent before you from a prophet or a messenger except that they proclaimed that there is none worthy of worship except me, so worship me alone. Likewise, the statement of Allah in the Quran, وَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ وَلَا تُشْرِكُ بِهِ شَيْئًا, and worship Allah and do not associate any partners with Him. So the servant actualizes this tawheed of Allah by acting upon it with his statement, La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone. As Allah said, likewise in the Quran, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّهِ. And your Lord has legislated that you must not worship anyone else except Him alone. So this is what was clearly apparent in the call of all of the Anbiya and Rusul, in all of the prophets and messengers. As the Prophet ﷺ said, that the best dua is the dua of Yawm al-Arafah. In this authentic hadith, which the Shaykh mentioned to prove that the call of the prophets and messengers was one, and it was based on Tawheed, that the Prophet ﷺ said, the best dua is the dua of Yawm al-Arafah. And all of the prophets had supplicated, لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد وهو على كل شيء قدير. So this dua of Tawheed, then this is something which all of the prophets and messengers were united upon. So the most heavy and the most tremendous thing is Tawheed, is the establishment of worship for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone, without associating any partners with Him. And this Tawheed is from the causes of the wiping away of our sins. This is from the causes and means for us to purify ourselves and wipe away our sins. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified in the authentic hadith of Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu. And this is the hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, that which means that indeed Allah will bring out a man from this ummah. Indeed Allah will bring out a single man from this ummah, from my ummah, meaning this ummah of Islam, in front of all of the creation. So Allah will bring out one man from this ummah in front of all of the creation, Yawm al-Qiyamah, on the day of resurrection. And it will be brought out for him 99 scrolls. 99 scrolls, all of them mentioning his evil deeds, all of them mentioning his sins. And each of those scrolls will be the length of as far as the eye can see. Then Ar-Rabb, the Lord, will say to him, do you deny any of this? Meaning, do you deny any of these sins, any of these transgressions which are mentioned in these scrolls? And Allah will ask, have you been oppressed by my kataba al-hafidhun, meaning my angels that write the deeds, have they oppressed you in any way? Meaning, have you not actually done this, these deeds? So the slave will say, la. He will say, no. He will not deny any of these sins which he committed. And he will make i'tiraf, or he will acknowledge that yes, everything which has been written in these scrolls is from myself, and I committed these acts. So the Lord will say to him, Ar-Rabb, he will say to this person, this man, who had these 99 scrolls of sins, those scrolls which each single one of them was the length as far as the eye can see. The Lord, Ar-Rabb, will ask him, that do you have any excuse or any good deed? So the man will be surprised and in shock. And he will say, no, O my Lord, no, O my Lord. So Allah will say to him, and indeed Allah, He is the one who is kind and gentle with His slaves. So Allah will say, indeed you have with us a hasana, you have with us a good deed, and you will not be oppressed today. So a bataka will be brought out. So something which has written on it, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. So this will be brought out. Even though the man said that he didn't have any good deed, Allah will affirm that no, you have with us a good deed and you will not be oppressed. So this item will be brought out that has written on it, أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وأن محمد رسول الله. So the slave will still be surprised and he will ask, oh my Lord, what can this one bataka, what can this do, which has this writing on it, what can this do in comparison to all of these 99 scrolls? Those 99 scrolls which were completely full of his sins, and each scroll the length as far as his eyes could see. And then the bataka, that which has written the shahada, will be placed on the scales. Will be placed on the scales, and the side of the scales with the sijillat, with the scrolls, will go up. And the side of the scales with that one single bataka will go down. It will go down and it will outweigh all of those 99 scrolls. So there is not anything heavier than the name of Allah ever. So this is the weight of the shahada. And the Shaykh continued to explain that this is the Tawheed al-Khalis for Allah. This is the establishment of Tawheed sincerely for Allah alone. And due to that, Iman, this faith, this Iman, is 60 odd branches. And its highest branch is La ilaha illallah. The highest branch of Iman, or the highest part of Iman, is La ilaha illallah. So the life of this Sunni, the Salafi, in this life, he must establish his life upon Tawheed. And he must establish it upon this tariq, upon this path of Tawheed, and he must be consistent on it. And he doesn't be relaxed about it, and he doesn't become bored about it. So this path of Tawheed, he is established upon it, continuing upon it, and he does not become relaxed about it or lazy, and he does not become bored. And he has surety. He has surety and firmness in the shahadatain, in his statement, La ilaha illallah, that there is none worthy of worship in truth except Allah alone, and that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger. So this person, the Sunni Salafi, who is established upon Tawheed, he establishes his statements and his actions upon this way, upon following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, upon that which his companions radiallahu anhum were upon. So he is submissive, the Sunni Salafi, he is submissive to the Tawheed of Allah and to establishing and actualizing that which Allah has ordered with. And he always strives to act upon the texts of the Quran and Sunnah only according to the understanding of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Sunni Salafi, he is strong and he is firm-willed and he is not shaken. He is thabit and has thabat, that he is firmly grounded and he is consistent upon that. And he doesn't seek, the Sunni Salafi, he doesn't seek to earn from his religion. And he doesn't seek to eat from his religion, nor scavenge from his religion. So indeed, he is someone who is qawi. And he is amin. He is somebody who is trustworthy. And he doesn't seek anything other than what is with Allah. The Sunni Salafi, he is strong and he is trustworthy, and he only does this seeking that which is with Allah. And as the Prophet ﷺ said, "Al-mu'min al-qawi ahabbu ila Allah," that the believer who is strong is more beloved to Allah. So the Sunni Salafi, when he wants to be upon this way of being strength, of being strong, then he should look to those who were strong before. So he wants to be upon the way of Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah. So Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, then they were qawi, they were strong, and they were from those who were strong. And they were strong in their i'tiqad, their aqidah, their belief. They were strong in their thabat, in their firmness, steadfastness. And they were strong in their fahm, in their understanding. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he is the one who is the guide to goodness. And he is the one who is the mubayyin. He is the one who clarifies the sharia. He ordered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اقتدوا بالذيني من بعدي أبي بكر وعمر. He ordered, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take as role models to be followed after me, Abu Bakr and Umar. So because the Prophet ﷺ ordered with following and sticking to the way of Abu Bakr and Umar, then indeed whoever sticks to and takes as a role model Abu Bakr and Umar, then indeed he is from the people of Jannah. So this iqtida, or this taking them as a role model, then first and foremost, this is taking them as role models in their aqidah, in their belief. And indeed, this is the sabilu najah. This is the path to safety, success, and security. So we must look, how were these two? How were Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma in their lives? So indeed, they were people of firm i'tiqad, firm aqidah and belief, and they were those who were strong in it. And this was something that was known, their strength and their firmness, even amongst the kuffar of Quraysh. So on the Battle of Badr, on that day, they would ask, the mushrikun, they would ask, do you have amongst you Muhammad? Do you have amongst you Ibn Abi Quhafa, which is what they would call Abu Bakr? And they would ask, do you have amongst you Umar? This is when they were in the battle, trying to seek out these. And the Shaykh continued explaining why. Why were the mushrikun asking about those three specifically? Because they were the most strong, and they were the most firmly grounded in regards to aiding the religion. So they were indeed the carriers of Tawheed. And they were carriers of the call to Tawheed. And they were those who were aqwiya. They were those who were strong. And they were well known for that. So indeed, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhuma, they were those who were known for work. They were Ashab Amr. They were known for working hard. And they were known to be from those people of the upper hand. And they were known for those people who were productive. And they were known for those to be from those people who were those people of ilm, knowledge, and understanding. So indeed, they were ulama. They were the true people of knowledge. And indeed, they combined between seeking their earnings, seeking their own wealth, and seeking knowledge. So they did these two things consecutively. They did these two things at the same time. Meaning they didn't only seek knowledge, and they didn't only earn their living. Rather, they combined beautifully between the two. So these two, indeed, they are the qudwa al-amtha, that they are the most befitting role models in regards to the correct path of seeking knowledge. So if we want to seek knowledge in the most correct way, then we should take them as the role model. So we should look to them in their ways. And we look to how they took the aqidah, how they absorbed and took in this aqidah and belief and manhaj, this methodology from the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, and this is authentic hadith in which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Al-yadu al-ulya khayrun min al-yad as-sufla. Wabda biman ta'udhu. Wa khayru as-sadaqati 'an dhahri ghina. Wa man yasta'fif ya'iffuhu Allah. Wa man yastaghni yughnihi Allah." So he said sallallahu alaihi wasallam that which means that the upper hand is better than the lower hand. And begin in giving charity with whom you are responsible for. And the best of charity are from those who are wealthy. And whoever preserves himself from asking from the people, meaning women, yasta'fif, يَعِفُهُ اللَّهُ, then Allah will protect him from needing that. وَمَنْ يَسْتَغْنِي يُغْنِهِ اللَّهُ, and whoever strives to be self-sufficient, then Allah will keep him sufficient or sufficed from needing from the people. And in another narration, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam clarified what is the yad al-ulya and what is the yad al-sufla, what is the upper hand and what is the lower hand. So the yad al-ulya, that is the hand that spends. And as for the lower hand, then it is the hand that asks. The upper hand is that which spends, and the lower hand is that which asks. So the Shaykh asked this question. Were Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu and Umar radiallahu anhu, were they from the people of the lower hand? Were they from those who used to ask from the people? Indeed, the answer is no. So this is what they took and absorbed and drank in from the guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So they were firm upon that. They were firm upon this way that they learned from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam up until the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam died, and they remained firm upon this correct religion without any distortion. Indeed, they remained firm and steadfast upon what they took in and what they absorbed and drank in from that guidance of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So the Shaykh closed his advice by saying that he advises his brothers to read the lives of these two tremendous Sahaba, Abu Bakr and Umar radiallahu anhumah, with authentic chains of narration, of course, and see how they actualized and exemplified Tawheed, and how they actualized and remained firm and steadfast upon ittiba', upon following the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and how they did talab al-ilm, how these two sought their knowledge, and how these two sought their rizq, how they sought their provision from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through earning it, and how they remained firm, and how they clung to this true path up until they died, radiallahu anhumah. So the Shaykh closed with a final supplication, saying that he asks Allah that He grants us the ability to follow them, that He blesses us to have imtithal, that we take Abu Bakr and Umar as true examples that we follow, and true examples that we adhere to their way, and that we do that sincerely for Allah Jalla wa Ala alone. Sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
Jazakallah khair. Jazakallah Shaykh Nashid Muhammad al-Anjiri khairan jaza for his telling that he gave for our brothers, and the important points that the Shaykh mentioned. And also Jazakallah Akhuna Adam for the tarjama, for the translation. We'll round that off, our day's lessons today, with that inshallah. And our next appointment will be tomorrow morning, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, at 9 a.m. for the next lesson, same place. So if the brothers want to have their breakfast and be ready before that, our next appointment inshallah, with the next lesson, will be in continuation of the tafsir of the hadith, or the explanation of the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, with our brother Abu Sufyan. Father wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabina Muhammad wa akhir da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen.